Well, I need your prayers. Seems like my throat's been giving me trouble for a few days and voice trying to go out. But above all, ask that we pray that the Lord's Word would have free course among all of us, that it would accomplish what He wants to accomplish. I'm convinced that in our day, He's still interested in speaking to us. I don't think those days are over. I don't think the days of the Lord wants to come down and meet with us are over. But we have a responsibility in it as well. Lord, help us to go back to that place, as we heard. I'd like for you to turn with me, if you would, to the 5th chapter of John. John, the 5th chapter, and beginning at the first verse. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Now I want us to picture this scene in our minds. I know it's one that we're familiar with, but a place that's called the House of Mercy, Bethesda. And in it there was a multitude of people that were, as I can imagine, just thronging the way. Thronging that area, perhaps visitors passing by would say, "What's going on in that area? I want to stop and see what the commotion is about." And yet, as you draw near and you look at it, and there are some that are, maybe they're in a bed that's been brought and laid there. Maybe there are some that are blind. Some with all manner of sickness and disease that are there watching this water, this pool. Because at a certain time, an angel came down and he touched the water. And when he does that, whenever the Lord moves upon the waters, there's healing. As we heard in prayer requests, the Lord's still a God that's able to heal. Have you ever known the Lord to heal? Has the Lord ever healed you? Have you ever known of those that the Lord has healed? I believe we'd have to say yes. The Lord still has the same power. I am convinced that His ability, His power has not diminished at all from the time that He walked on this earth. And so there were many, many that knew of this place, that had heard, maybe they knew of those that had been sick, those that had been diseased or had been crippled, and they had gone down and they themselves had gotten in the water. And they came up and they were healed. I think if I were crippled, I'd say, "Take me down there. That's right where I want to be. I want the chance. I want the opportunity. Maybe I've been crippled my entire life, and that's all I've known is a chair or a bed, being confined and not able to get up, but I still like to think I would have a ray of hope." Whenever I hear that, and I know that there's one that's able to heal, that there is a place that I can go, whatever disease I have, it says that there was all manner of those that were blind, those that were halt, those that were crippled, and they went there. Maybe, just maybe, I can be the first one in the water. Maybe I can be the one that steps in and, even though I've lived with it all my life, maybe I don't have to. Maybe there'll be a time that I can step into the water and I can be healed. The Lord tonight is still healing. But the burden that I have tonight is not physical healing, but it's about being spiritually whole. It said that whoever stepped into the waters was made whole. Whatever was wrong, whatever it was that didn't join or didn't grow properly, whatever disease it was that was was crippling the body, that was hindering me from functioning as I should be able to function. It was corrected. It was turned around. You step in the water. Now, how do you explain that? How do you explain whenever we heard this morning to Brother Charles Taylor? How do you give me a medical explanation for a child that's born with his knees turned backwards and they just turn? The Lord, whenever He moves, doesn't have to work in the way that we think He should work. Lord, I don't know how You would take care of this one. Surely this one is out of Your power. The Lord, when He looked on all manner of sickness and disease, there wasn't a single one that came to Him that He had to turn away and say, I've never seen this before. I've never dealt with a man that's possessed by a devil that chains can't hold him. I'm sorry, I can do a lot, but that's just one that I can't take care of. But even in that one, in the worst and the most difficult situations, Jesus was able to change a man. Jesus was able to take that was broken about His life. That was torn apart, that He wasn't even Himself. He was not who God designed Him to be. You know, there are many in our world that are not what God designed them to be. What God desired for their life to be, a beautiful, godly, righteous life. But the enemy has come in and he's caused havoc. He's come in and he's broken homes and families and lives. He's ruined my plans and my dreams. And I find myself in a place that I didn't want to be here. I didn't want to be crippled. I didn't want to be sick, but I'm here now. And I want to be made whole. If only there was some way. And I think of these, maybe they got up in the morning thinking, I wonder if this is my day. I wonder if this is the day that I'll be the one that turns around and walks away shouting and jumping, saying, I've been healed. At any rate, there were many that had that hope. There were many that came around and just stayed around this pool, watching and hoping. Do you know today the waters that are troubled are not just for one? It's not just for the first one that can race down to the waters, but it is for those that desire more than anything else in my life. Lord, I want to be made whole. Lord, I want my life to be put back together. Lord, I want my spiritual walk with You to be healthy like You want it to be. This, the thing that I don't understand about my soul, the thing that I'm feeling, the thing that I'm struggling with right now, the thing that I've not been able to get the victory over. Lord, I want to be made whole. I want to be set back in a condition that You've designed salvation to be. Lord, I want to be restored. I want to be made whole. Jesus, well, I want to come back and deal with that maybe a little further on. I want to look at another man. The 18th chapter of Luke. Luke 18, and we'll pick up at the 35th verse. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. Hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. That's a pretty pitiful picture. Man that's blind, I suspect this was probably his routine. Get up in the morning, somebody help me out to the gate, I'm going to start another day again, as much as it is, this is my life. I've got to get up and go sit by the gate, and maybe there will be some passerby that has mercy on me and will give me a little something to help me through life. There's not a whole lot of hope in that. That's a pretty bleak picture in life. But it said that he heard a commotion one day. And as he heard it, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Now I want to notice what his reaction was. He didn't just say, well, who's that? But he had heard of Jesus. He had heard of this man that Perhaps he had heard tell that there were other blind people that had been healed. There were others that had even been dead that had been raised up from the dead. And he heard that, and he heard that Jesus is passing by where I am. He's passing by the gate that I'm sitting at right now. He didn't just hang his head back down. But it said, and he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. And he held his peace. Is that what it said? Was that how he reacted to it? As he was crying out, Jesus, have mercy on me. They said, man, be quiet. This is the Master. Don't disturb him. Don't bother him. He has much to do. He has a busy schedule. Who are you to think that you can cause the Master to turn back around and look at your pitiful state? But he didn't let it hinder him. Nor should we. Whenever the enemy tries to hinder and discourage us, there's no hope for you. The place that you're in, Jesus isn't going to turn back around and look at your situation. He's not going to give you a handout in the place that you're in. Whenever others around us, maybe it's family, tries to discourage, tries to hinder, whenever they're not supportive of what I need to do, I don't say, well, okay, I guess I'm just going to be blind the rest of my life. It says, whenever they said that, he cried so much the more, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Whenever they were trying to get him, just shut up. Just be quiet. He cried out all the louder. He's desperate about this. You know, I believe this man recognized this is my one chance. This is the chance I have. If I let Jesus get by, I've been blind for years and years and years. What's the hope that I have of ever seeing again? Oh no, you're not shutting me up. Jesus, have mercy on me. Lord, would you look on my condition? Would you look on my state? And maybe would you have mercy on me? And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. When he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Lord, I want to see again. I want to be made whole. I want to be corrected. There was something in this man that believed Jesus could do it. He didn't ask Jesus, are you able to heal the blind? Is this something that's beyond your power? By faith, he came to him saying, Jesus, heal my sight. However it happened, maybe he was blind from birth, maybe it was an injury or whatever it was. Jesus, would you heal me? Would you set it right? You know, that can be the cry of every one of our hearts. If I have a place in my life that's broken, if my soul is not in a healthy condition, if you will, there's something wrong. There's something broken in my life and in my heart. You know, I don't have to be able to reason all through, well, how did I get here? Well, what was it and how could I get out and how would I deal with this situation? And how would the Lord take care of this? And if I do this, then what's going to happen here? But to cry out and say, Lord, I want to see. Lord, I want to be made whole again. And Jesus heard that poor man's cry. And he'll hear every one of ours that cry out to him saying, Lord, I want to be made whole. Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. This was a different man, wasn't it? It wasn't the man that was sitting with his head hung by the gate, waiting, hoping for something to be handed out to him. This was a man that one time was blind but could say, now I can see. This is a man that could say, Jesus passed by my life and he touched me. Jesus, I believe, wants to pass by every one of us. And if there's a place in my life that I haven't given to the Lord, if there's a place that I say, well, but I've lived with this all my life. That's who I am. I'm a blind man. I have accepted it. I've come to the place that I just accept that's who I am. And that's the way I'm going to live life. Oh, I would like to think. I would hope that sometime I'd be able to see. But I don't know how. I'm just a blind man. I'm just a crippled man. I would that every one of us tonight, if we are not spiritually whole, would say, Lord, I want it. Lord, I want to be restored. Whatever the enemy has stolen in our lives, the Lord wants to restore. Whatever the enemy has come along and broken, the Lord wants to put back together. Whatever it is that's not functioning spiritually, in the body, in my life, in my soul, in the body of Christ, the Lord wants to be able to put it back together. The Lord wants to be able to heal, to mend. Remember what He said in the 4th chapter of Luke. As He was standing in the synagogue, delivered to Him the book of Isaiah. In the 18th verse, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And His message to them was, I've come to fulfill this. That's what I've come to this earth for. Those that the enemy has worked in their lives, those that the enemy has held bound in a place that I feel like I can never get out of this. There's no hope of me ever getting beyond this place in my life that maybe I've been stuck in for years and years and years. And in my mind, the fears and the doubts that I have, there's no hope for me. I'm bound. There are things that have a hold of me that I cannot shake. I've tried before. I've tried to do better about it. I've tried to control this area of my life and I just slip back again. I'm bound. I'm held fast. I can't see. I'd like to be able to see, but my eyes, I'm not able to, spiritually speaking. There are a lot of blind people. There are a lot of people that are able to look at this book and read it and not get a thing out of it spiritually. That are able to look on their own lives and not see my own needs that I have. Revelation, the 3rd chapter, the Lord said unto the Laodiceans, I believe it was, you think that you're whole and you have need of nothing and you're rich and all of this, but you do not realize that you're blind and you're have need. I don't remember how all that went. But you don't realize the true need of your soul. You're blinded. You're not able to see it. You're not able to see your own self. There are many, many people that are not able to see the true state I'm in. You realize the danger of that? Lord, if I get to the judgment and I'm blinded, my eyes will be open that day. But Lord, I don't want to wait till then. Lord, restore my eyesight now. If I'm looking at things and it's just all a blur and a cloud in my mind, I'm confused by it. Things that I look at and maybe I ought to be able to discern. There are questions and issues in people's lives that sometimes I think that ought to be clear to you. Doctrines and teachings that ought to be clear in the Bible. But if I'm blinded, it's not clear to me. It's all just a haze and a blur as I look at it and try to pick out what's right and what way to go. So many people are groping today, trying to find the way, trying to pick my way through life. But I'm blind. Jesus came to restore the eyesight. He told the Laodiceans, anoint your eyes with eye salve. There's something that you can put on your eyes that'll heal it. It'll give you your sight back. Jesus put clay on a man's eyes. Wasn't anything healing in that clay. But Jesus touched a man that was blind and gave him his eyesight back. John the Baptist, sent from prison asking, Jesus, are you truly the one? Are you truly the Savior of the world, the one that we've been waiting for? You know what Jesus' answer to him was? Go back and tell John, the blind have their eyes open. The dead are raised up again. And what he was saying by that was prophesied. That's what I've come to do. And I'm doing it. It's happening all around us. You know, the Lord is still opening eyes today in 2013. The Lord is still saving and delivering and putting back together in our day and age. And I wonder sometimes in our assemblies and in our camp meetings and all, if there are those that maybe realize, I'm broken. I'm not where I need to be. My soul, my life is not in a place that is whole and is sound. And I know it's a place that I can get some help. It's like the Pool of Bethesda. I know that there's help for me, but I don't know how to get it. Or maybe I'm just content to be in the throng of people where I know there's help for me. You know, we don't have to be satisfied to go through life maimed. We don't have to be content to just say, well, I'm just a blind man. That's who I am. That's my identity. And so I accept that and I come to terms with it. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I haven't come that you go through life hobbling around, dragging your feet behind you and crippled and not able to walk. But I've come to heal you. Remember what the woman with the issue of blood said? It said that she had gone out and she had suffered many things at the hands of many physicians. She had a real need in her body. And she had desperately wanted help and turned to this one and turned to that one. Maybe there's help in this. Maybe if I invest in this in my life, it'll bring some healing to me. People are looking so many places, trying to fill their lives with so many things to mend the hurt, to mend the ache that I feel in my heart, the void, the absence that's there. I'm trying and trying to cram things in to fill it. But it said the woman was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. For all of her efforts, for everything she tried to do in her own strength and power to better her life, she only grew worse. When it comes to the affairs of our soul, anything that we try to do to substitute, to fill in, to cover up, isn't going to get us anywhere. We'll only lose ground. We'll only be worse. But she said in her mind, there's Jesus. And if I can but reach forth and touch the hem of His garment, I'll be made whole. She had the faith to believe that. And may we tonight have the faith to believe that. If I can, I know no matter the situation, no matter the circumstance. You know what I'm preaching tonight is simplistic? It is. But I don't have to understand. There are things that are beyond my comprehension. I can't imagine what some people go through. I can't imagine the complexity of the mess that Satan makes of people's lives. But I don't have to. I don't have to understand. I don't have to know how to put someone back together again. I want to point him to the one and say, there's Jesus. He can heal you. He can put it back together again. He can mend that's broken for you. And so she went and she pressed through the throng. We're going to have a determination, folks. We're going to have to be determined. I want more than anything else to be sound, to be whole. I want to be a pillar in the congregation. I want to be one of those that whenever there's a need, they can call on me because there's a steadfastness. There's a wholeness. There's a soundness. But if the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall into the ditch. I can't be blind. I can't be crippled and maimed and wounded and expect to be in a place that the Lord can really use me. Can you imagine tonight what we would look like if we had never healed? You ever get scratches, bruises, bumps, cuts, abrasions, and the list goes on and on and on. I'm sure we could think back to numerous injuries that we've had. What would we look like? The scratch I got here, the place I busted my chin open here, the black eye I had here. If I never healed, I'd be an even more atrocious sight. And if all of us were in the place that I had not received healing for the places and the wounds and injuries that life has a way of bringing, I'd be a pathetic sight. But I want again to point us away from the physical and back to the spiritual. The Lord doesn't want us to have to go through life with every wound, every injury, every bruise, every cut, every hurt that's ever been inflicted to me. Everything that the enemy's ever done to me, and I'm somehow trying to cripple through life, carrying it all. The Lord has healing. Physically, you get a cut on your hand and you can see the progression. Instantly, the blood begins to try to clot. The skin begins to regenerate new skin cells. The Lord built into our bodies a mechanism and a function for it to heal. The Lord put it in place. The Lord is the one that put the healing ability in place. That I don't have to go through life with all the scrapes and bruises and cuts. But it can heal. There may be a scar left sometimes, but it can heal. The Lord has healing. That for my spiritual places that I failed, that I've fallen, that the enemy has wounded me in battle, I don't have to go through just always crippling with that injury. The Lord has healing for us tonight. We don't have to stay bruised. You know what a bruise is? Something that's under the surface. Hasn't broken open. But there's something, there's been an injury, a hurt, a wound. There's bleeding. There's injury to the tissue under the skin. And sometimes the flesh even begins to die under the surface. But you know, at first I may not even be able to look and see that somebody has a bruise. You know, there are places that the enemy works in our lives that are like bruises. It's underneath the surface. I may come to service and the rest of you not know anything about it. I can put a smile on my face. I can try to go through life and not let anybody know that I've been bruised. And I want us to realize tonight, I'm not preaching to us that we go through life and we'll never be hurt. In the literal, we don't go through life and never get hurt. I try to be careful. But what I am bringing to us tonight is whenever I've been injured, whenever offenses come, whenever an injury or a wound happens, there's healing. Seek the Lord for healing. Don't just carry that wound on with you throughout your life. The Lord has healing for us, for the bruises. He said the bruised reed He won't break. That was called the house of mercy. You know, it's still a house of mercy we come unto. In a place that I say, Lord, here I am. I'm helpless. Lord, maybe I failed. Maybe I'm at fault here. But Lord, however I got here, I'm broken and I'm hurting and I don't have the victory that I want. Lord, would You give it to me? You're under no obligation to do it. But Lord, would You please have mercy on me? And I believe the Lord will do that. I worked with a man that would come to work and sometimes I just scratched my head. Some days he would be friendly and seem perfectly normal. And other days it was like he was walking around in a daze and saying things that weren't coherent. Didn't even make sense. And I try to talk to him and see if he's all right. And he'd kind of babble on about something. And he finally told me one day, I am on so many pain meds that I can't even hardly function. And I was asking him about it and what was wrong, and he said, I've got problems with my teeth. I've got tooth decay. And instead of going and having the rot dealt with, instead of going and having it cleaned and the teeth pulled or whatever needed to happen, he tried to mask it. He tried to just take the pain medications, just take something so he could cope with the pain that he was feeling. But as long as the rot and the decay and all that was underneath the surface, he always had to do that. Folks, masking our injuries, masking our hurts will not truly fix them. It won't truly heal them. As long as there's some rot underneath, as long as there's a place in my life that is not sound and whole and healed, I'll always deal with the issue. I'll always go through life and I'm still, tomorrow, next year, next camp meeting, I'm still dealing with the same old thing, with the same old failure, with the same old need over and over and over again. The Lord has healing for us. The Lord's able to take that that's rotten, that's bruised, that's underneath the surface that folks aren't able to see, and set it right, and correct it, and heal it. If you've ever had a small injury, seems like no matter how small. I got poison ivy last fall, and got it on my wrist, and I didn't realize it, and it got on my watch. You don't know it the first day, but the oils were on my watch, and it rubbed on my wrist for days on end until I started noticing this rash. And I had for weeks and weeks and weeks an awful rash that was nasty. And it itched. And it hurt. You know, that was really a minor thing. That was really nothing to impair me. Do you know how much time and attention it occupied of my mind? It was constantly itching. It was constantly bothering me. It seems like if you have you sprain your toe or your ankle, it seems like you kick everything that's in the way. It seems like it just jumps out in front of you. You're vulnerable. If there's something that's hurt and wounded, I cut a finger, it seems like I'm banging it on everything when I'm just trying to do the normal things of life. You know, spiritual injuries can be the same way. It leaves me vulnerable. It leaves me in a place that I'm easily hurt again. That I try to bandage it up a little bit and keep on going, but it's inevitable. I go and I bang it again and I reopen it. You know what else the enemy likes to do? Part of our body's function, as I said, is to heal. And so when you get a cut, it'll form a scab. You know what'll happen if you have a little child and they're determined to pick at that thing? It won't heal. Not nearly as fast as what it should. That's intended to be a protective code, part of the healing process. You know, the enemy likes to pick open scabs. The enemy likes whenever there's a hurt or an offense or a wound or something in my life that the Lord would have me to get healing over. The Lord would have me to get to a place that I gain true forgiveness or true healing for that place. You know, the enemy has a way of coming along and reminding us about it. Coming along and bringing thoughts up in my mind. And just like that poison ivy, I can't get my mind off of it. And I keep thinking about it and I keep going back to it. You know, the enemy can take something that's a small injury and he can escalate it into something much bigger. Something that starts out as a scratch or something, if I would have cleaned it and properly cared for it, it would have never turned into gangrene and I have to cut my leg off. It would have never gotten into the place where I work in a factory, they stress early reporting. If you get an injury, if you get a paper cut, if you get something that you hurt yourself, don't just say, well, I'll deal with it and I'll wrap it up with some duct tape and I'll go home and I'll sleep on it and I'll get better. Well, that's what I do anyway. But they say don't just try to cover it up, because their reasoning is if you do that and you don't deal with it on the spot, it can turn into something much worse. Infection can set in. You know, if we don't get healing, Satan has so many in the environment around us, so much filth and contamination that the enemy wants to introduce some contamination in the wound. The enemy wants to cause a little bit of disease to set in. If I would have cleaned it and bandaged it and gotten the healing that I truly needed, I wouldn't have to worry about it. I want to say to us this evening, when you get injured, deal with it. Whenever there's a hurt, don't let it go on. Don't let it linger for years and years. You ever heard of the Hatfields and the McCoys? I'm sure you have. Two families in Kentucky and West Virginia. They're famous or infamous now for their feuding between the two families. And I knew some of the story. The National Guard had to be called out before it was over with for the two states, the state militias, to try to squash this uprising. It was getting so out of hand, so out of control, that there were people on both sides of the family. They'd sneak over the river one night and kill one member of the family. And you know what that means? What happens the next night? They sneak back over the other way and they kill one of the other family. And it has so escalated and boiled up to the point that you couldn't correct it. That their own families, if they would have gone over and approached the house, they probably would have been shot. So I wonder what caused it. What was it that started all this? You may know a little better than I do, but from what I was able to find in a little bit of research, it started with a pig. There was a pig that both families laid claim to. One of them said, "It's my pig that got out." And the other one said, "No, it's my pig." That seems pretty trivial, doesn't it? If I can look and know down the road, I'm going to lose 8 of my family members that are going to be killed because of this pig. I say, take the pig and all the others that I have too. It's not worth it. But you know, that's how the enemy likes to take something that's small and blow it up and blow it up. And I think about it and I pick at it and I never get the healing that I need. And I have an offense or I have a hurt. And the enemy's right there to cause it to ever be before my mind. And every time I see him, it's right there. And what could have started out as just a scratch that I get healing for, infection sets in. And all of a sudden it escalates to something that's way out of control. The point that I want to make to us is deal with it when it's small. Deal with it whenever there's an issue. Whenever there's a problem, the Lord has healing for it. That it doesn't have to get to that place. Picking open the wound, I want to exhort us, caution us about talking about it. There is a place that I seek help and I seek counsel. I'm wounded. I'm hurt. There's a situation I'm going through that I need help with. But you know what our tendency is? Something happens to me. And I feel something rise up and I say, that was wrong. That was wrong the way I was treated, what happened to me. And so I pick up the phone and I call someone. Do you know what just happened to me? And I talk about it. Be careful, especially with those that I know will sympathize with me. Those that I know I'll be able to get some pity from or some sympathy from. That's the way the enemy tries to pick the scab open. That's the way the enemy tries to agitate and stir the wound and pour salt in the wound so it never heals. I'd like to turn back now to the 5th chapter of John. In this setting, the pool of Bethesda, the 5th verse, a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered, Sir, now you'd think with that question my response would be absolutely so. Lord, I want to be made whole. I want to be restored. I don't want to be lame. I don't want to be crippled the rest of my life. But it said that he answered, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. I don't need your answers. I don't need your reasons. I don't need your excuses. I don't need you to be able to figure out how you're going to get healing. I need you to say, Yes, Lord, I want it. You know, that's the first step for any one of us to get healing, is to say, Lord, I want healing. Lord, I want to be made whole. Some people aren't willing to let go. Some people aren't willing to be made whole. I want to hold on to this thing. I want to stay in this place. I'm not willing. It might cost me something. You know, sometimes it hurts to clean a wound. I've heard those speak, if you'll excuse the crude analogy, of ingrown toenails. Thankfully, never had a problem with that. But the individual, Brother Danny Adams, I heard talking about it, said he found the best way to deal with it is take a pair of pliers and rip it off. Whenever you do that and you can clean out the infection, then it's able to grow back and it's able to be restored and heal much quicker. But many times, and he said his, I don't believe he'd mind me saying this, I've heard him tell it often, several times, his boys or one of them would have a problem with it, and he'd say, "Son, you know what I need to do. No, Dad, stay away from me. But if you're willing for me to cut off the flesh, if you're willing to pay the price, it'll heal so much quicker. You don't have to go through life hobbling around on a lame foot. You don't have to go through life that way. You know, sometimes it's like that with our healing. Lord, it might cost me something. It'll cost you humility. Lord, it might cost me this, and I might have to deal with that I really don't want to go there. I really don't want to dig down that deep. Lord, can't you just put a Band-Aid on the thing and let me go on?" And the Lord's saying all the while, "I want to get down to the root of it. Do you want to be made whole?" That's not asking the man, do you want to be able sometimes to get up and walk? Do you want to be able to have somebody that can take you down to the water? He asked you, "Sir, man, do you want to be made whole? Complete. 100% restored. Do you want to be whole?" I'd ask that question tonight of every one of us. Do you want to be made whole? If there's a need, if there's a lack in my life, do I want it? Do I say, "Lord, I'm willing for you to cut. Lord, I'm so sick of being in this sick bed." You know how good it feels to feel good? After you've been sick, after you've had something that's hurting, and you wake up and thank the Lord the headache's gone. Thank the Lord I don't have a stomachache. Thank the Lord that I feel good. It feels good to feel good spiritually. We don't have to go through life again hobbling along. All we have to do is say, "Lord, I want to be made whole. I'm willing. Lord, I want you to come in and heal this place in my life. I want you to come in and do what I'm not able to do. Lord, the brokenness in my life, in my home, in my family, Lord, I want you to bring healing to it. I want you to begin the healing process and let the Lord work that." Believe tonight the Lord wants to pass by just like He did the blind man. And I would encourage us tonight, if you hear Jesus passing by, if you hear a commotion and say, "Lord, what is that?" And He says, "It's me calling to you. Do you want to be made whole?" It's Jesus passing by. It's the angel troubling the water. Whenever I see the need, whenever I recognize, "Lord, I need healing," that's the time for me to go down to the water. Whenever the water's troubled is the time for me to go down and say, "Lord, fall on my knees before Him. Lord, I want to be made whole. I want to let you work that work." The Lord wants to give us abundant life. Not that we have to go through life spiritually crippled, but that we can be spiritually whole. You pray for me. Amen.